364 days left to do exploits for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, I am so excited about this new year because I believe this is the year that we're going to see God's supernatural power in a greater way than we've ever seen before. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. And you know, we are a blessed people. And one way we can give honor and glory to God is to recognize the blessings that are in our life. I mean, you're here this morning. You had feet to carry you here. You had cars to bring you here. You're sitting in a church with pews that are comfortable. We have heat in this place. I mean, you've got heat in the houses. All of you look like you've been well fed, you know, for the last few days. And, you know, we have so many things in this life to be thankful for. You know, just being away on that cruise and looking at some of these islands, you know, where there are people that live like us and are very wealthy, but most people live in shacks and garbage and everything else. We are a blessed people. We grumble about our taxes. We grumble about this and we grumble about that, but we're a blessed people. And God is our Lord. And that makes us absolutely super blessed. I thought for a minute that Pastor Bob was going to preach my message, but he quit. So I can go on. As we're standing here in front of this, you know, I do this every year. I feel every year. I know it's only one day, but, you know, it's like a brand new year. There's opportunities. Open your eyes. See the opportunities. And, you know, I've made some mistakes in 2010. And my halo is still a little crooked, and I pull some boners. But, you know, they're past now. They're in 2010. I'm not going to dwell on them anymore, but I'm going to start looking forward to what lays ahead of me and to do things better, to learn from my experiences, not to wallow in my past mistakes, but to look forward and to learn from my experiences and make 2011 an exciting year full of God's power and anointing. I want to be in a different place next year than what I am this year. I want to be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to accomplish more for Him. I want to be an instrument in His hand. In order to do the more, I've got to change what I did last year and improve on it this year. And I can, because God gave me a will. That is the most blessed thing we got. You know, you're not here moving around by accident. You've got a will. And so you can choose today to choose life for 2011. And if you fall off every once in a while, you just get right back on and you go on with 2011 as a prosperous, exciting year. Last week, when Pastor mentioned the scripture in 1 John 3, verse 8, it really went off in me. And I've been kind of thinking along that line all week, and many of you that have talked to me have heard me say it. And it's 1 John 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God was made manifest or visible was to undo and destroy, loosen and dissolve the works of the devil. We are to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, to destroy the works of the enemy. But many of us are so busy cowering away, hiding, trying to get away from all that the devil wants to do, but we need to take authority. 1 John 4, verse 17 says in the last part of that verse, because as he is, so are we in this world. Whoa! Imagine that. So as he is, are we in the world? Is it because we're so good? No, it's because of the finished work of Calvary. We celebrated communion. We were reminded that Jesus Christ came into this world to die for sinners. He shed his blood. He took the beatings also that we could be free, so that we could be like him in this world. Is it because we're perfect? No, it's because he was perfect and he accomplished the work. So as he is, are we in this world, and we have been called, been manifested as the body of Christ to destroy the works of the enemy. And I'll tell you, I don't want to cower about the enemy. I want to go full force and exercise new spiritual battle against him. Does that mean I go around shouting and screaming at the devil? No, it means I'm going to start walking in obedience to God's word, thinking the thoughts that God wants me to think, and speaking the words he wants me to speak in order to do spiritual battle. You know, it says resist the devil, and he has to flee. Romans 6 verse 4 says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually live. Look at that word, habitually live and behave in newness of life. Do people see that you have something different in your life without you saying a word? And Peter talks about, woman, if you want to lead your husbands to the Lord, you can lead them without a word. How can you do that? By your behavior, by your attitude, by the things you say, by the things you do. And that goes for the whole body of Christ. There should be something about us that is so different that it manifests itself. It's on the inside of us. We can't put it on the outside. That's religion. It needs to come from the inside, from the very depth of our being. That attitude, that spirit will rise up, and without us saying a word, and I'm not saying that you should never say a word, but you should be able to show that there's something different about you without you saying a word to anybody else. How are we living? Do we live life, or do we live with one foot in death? You know, and it's one thing I've done for years and years and years, is that we kind of checked on each other what comes out of our mouth, because we can say a lot of negative things. And I listen to people, and I listen to myself, and I think, ooh. You know, I often say I wish I was a person of very few words, because then I wouldn't say so many wrong things. But, you know, we live in a negative world, and we look at what we see. And it's not what we see, but what we see in the spiritual realm. That's the real world for us. It was 6 years ago on Friday night, no, it's Saturday morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, that God woke me up by his spirit and came on me and said, I am going to be with you. Do not be afraid. Be strong and powerful in the Lord. And you know what? He has never failed me yet. He's always been there. And I always knew that for the last 30 years, but it was such a powerful thing at that moment that it touched me in a very powerful way. And that's what helped me carry through with what God had called me to do. So I want to pray. Father, I praise you and I thank you for your word, because your word, Lord, your word will never fail us. So I thank you, Lord, that today you put a deep hunger. Lord, I'm just a tool. I'm a messenger. Fill me, Lord, with the words that will stir each person in here with a hunger and a desire for the Word of God. Not just to read it, but to do it. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would manifest itself in such a powerful way in the midst of us, Lord, that no matter where we go from this place, we will destroy the works of the evil one. In Jesus' name. Could somebody hand me a Kleenex? Thank you. I listen. And sometimes I make fun of it, I make a joke out of it, but I listen all the time to people's conversation. And it drives me crazy when people are negative. And you know, our words are creative. Whatever we speak out of our mouth eventually comes to pass. Now, if we said something and immediately, if I said, well, Logan, he's just a dog, and all of a sudden Logan would jump up and down and go, woof, 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 woof. I mean, I'm just doing something ridiculous. But, you know, we would get concerned because I don't want a dog for a grandson. Dogs are okay, but grandsons are better. You know, we would become very cautious about the words that we speak out of our mouth. So we need to, it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, Luke 6:45, the mouth speaks. So it needs to be in abundance in our heart, on the inside of us. There's only one way that gets that way, is if we read and meditate and do the Word of God, it becomes part of us. I know some people here that have their minds focused on certain things. You know, all these things are good. I've got, talk to me about knitting and out will come all kinds of patterns and ideas and blah, 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 because it's in me. But, you know, the major thing should be the Word of God. But I'm just using that as an example. There's people that are involved in different things. I know Johnny Wassenaar. I mean, he could tell you statistics about hockey. I mean, you push him and he'll tell you a statistic. And there's other people that have certain interests that no matter what you say or what you do, you put a little pressure on them and out will come that. Well, you see, that's the way the Word needs to be inside of us. That when anything contrary to the Word of God comes and touches us, out will come the Word of God that has been placed in our hearts. That needs to be the pressure. What comes out of you when you're under pressure? Oh, well, what is God doing? I'm angry at God. What is God doing? Blah, blah, blah. You know, that's wrong doctrine. God isn't doing it. We're living in a sinful world. There's junk out here everywhere, but God has given us the tools to overcome. But we need to do the overcoming. It's His power in us, His tools working in us, but we need to use them. If I've got all kinds of tools in my kitchen, but I never use them, you know, those tools are useless to me. I can say, well, you know what? I can't do anything. Yeah, of course I can't do anything because I'm not using the right tools. God has given us the tools. God has given us the equipment. And we need to get our theology right. And the only way we get our theology right is to read the Word of God, to know the Word of God, to do the Word of God. We have been created in the image of God, which is a three-part being. The real you is your spirit. That should be the strongest inside of you. That's the part of you that's born again, that stands righteous and pure before God. The second is our soul, our mind, our intellect, our emotions. The Bible says we need to daily renew our mind to the Word of God. That doesn't automatically change when we're born again. Your spirit is reborn, but your soul you're going to have to retrain. Because when you first get saved, you're used to doing certain things. Your body is the shell you live in. Now, have you ever taken a tent and it has no mind of its own? You know, this body is a tent. Now, imagine going camping with a tent, and a tent says to you, don't get any meat tonight. I'm not having you stay in my tent. I mean, that won't happen. A tent is just a tent. That's our body. But you see, our body will react and respond to either our spirit or our soul. Now, a reason why people get so mixed up a lot of times is their soul is speaking to them. And a lot with most of us, our soul is a lot stronger than our spirit man because he's had malnutrition for so long. You know, and so we react in the flesh all the time and we speak things by what we see and what we hear. Well, the newscaster said, I still remember one time that coffee was supposed to go up. Some newscaster said, and I was just as stupid, I stocked up on coffee. You know, who is this guy that said the price of coffee is going to go up? But we'll take everything as gospel truth, what we hear, because some person with some titles behind them or no titles will say something. And yet the word of God says, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter if the price of coffee goes up or it goes down. God is my supply. So we pay so much attention to what we hear and what we see with those eyes. And then you believe in healing. Yeah, but I knew sister so-and-so and she died. And I heard this person, and she taught Sunday school all her life. And she died. And the pastor here died too young. And he even preached it. Doesn't make any difference. It's the word of God that is true. Not what we feel, not what we think. It has nothing to do with it. It's the word of God is what we are, what we live by. You know, a lot of times there's a war going on inside of us, and if we don't realize that we're a triune being, we don't understand it. But it's a warring between your flesh and your spirit. It's not the devil. I made that mistake, or there used to be a lot of teaching about casting out devils, and they were casting out the spirit of overeating and the spirit of this and the spirit of anger and the spirit of this. You know, some of those things are in our flesh and we need to start taking control of the flesh. You know, you cannot cast out the flesh. I wish you could. I'd cast a whole lot of it out. But it's the spirit, you know, and I'm not saying there is deliverance ministry. But a lot of times we're trying to get rid of the devil when we need to get rid of the flesh. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. The word of God should not depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate. Do you sit on the floor and cross your arms and go, woo? No. We all know how to worry. When you worry, you mutter to yourself. You go over things over and over. You look at it from this angle and from that. And when you worry, you know what? It's all negative. But when you meditate, you think on the word of God. What it means. What does that word mean to me? What does this word, Joshua 1 verse 8, means for me? It says that you should meditate on this day and night. Do you mean you walk all day with a Bible in front of you? No, but take a scripture and think about it. Like I thought about the scripture, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest. I meditated on that all week. You can do that while you do the dishes, while you drive the car, while you're even talking to somebody else. You tell them about it, you know. And then it says that you may observe to do. You see that word. Okay, now how can I observe to do that? How can I manifest the Lord Jesus Christ and destroy the works of the evil one? You know, and you start thinking about that, and you start seeing yourself do those kind of things. Observe and do according to all, not just your favorite verses, but to all that's written in it. For then, not before, then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Isn't that great? We can have good success in this life. We can. If it wasn't so, then the Bible wouldn't say it. Can you imagine what would happen in your life if you had that kind of commitment to study and meditate on the Word of God? Can you imagine what would happen in this church if all of us started getting serious and putting the Word first place in our life? What if the whole body of Christ, everyone that's called by His name, would rise up as one and do that? We say impossible. But we could make an effort one person at a time. I can't make all of you do it, but I can make myself do it. And you can make yourself do it. It's a choice. And that free choice is very important. If you've ever had your choices taken away from you, it's not fun. But we have a choice. I remember when we first started this church, we would have a lot of people come home with us on Sunday night, and a lot of them had come out of the drug culture and the hippie culture, and they didn't look like your traditional Christians. But you know, they came with their Bible under their arm, and we sat around this kitchen table that we had, which was huge. I sat on a three-legged chair, and I could sit on it without falling off. But anyway, and we meditate and we talk about what the Lord had shown us in the Word. Because our hearts were burning inside of us. And we saw the supernatural all the time. And I believe we're seeing the supernatural all the time now, except we're not highlighting it the way we used to. God has done some tremendous miracles in this house in this past year. But we don't always highlight enough of the miracles in our personal life to show off what God is doing. I think sometimes I have lived in the supernatural for so long that maybe sometimes it's just become natural for me. You know, you kind of get used to the supernatural. Before every little thing that would happen, I can still remember one time when we needed $2,500 and we didn't have it, but we needed a month. And I know Ralph's told that story many times, but I need to reemphasize that. We needed it a month, and we had no problem saying, "Thank you, Lord, for providing for us. Thank you, Lord, we need this money. But we thank you, Lord, it's on the way," and it was okay after a week, and it was okay after 2 weeks and after 3 weeks. But it got to be the day before, and it was hard to say that because that money had not come in. And I remember my husband saying that they had to ship pigs that day, and he could not speak in English, because if he had spoken in English, he would have said exactly what he saw. There is no provision. But he prayed in tongues the whole way, delivering those pigs and coming back home again. While he was gone, my parents, who lived with me, and I, we wouldn't let them pay for anything, came over at that exact moment and gave me a check for $2,500. They had no idea that we needed it, because we kept our finances totally away from them. They brought us a check of $2,500. I'll tell you, if our faith was not encouraged, did we tell people? We're still telling it today, and it's 25 years ago. Because it was a supernatural miracle that happened. And then Bob brought up something interesting when we shared that. He said, did you realize, my dad had said, well, we didn't want any money. We put $50 away for you every month. That he started saving that over a year before. God already knew we would need that money on that specific day. You know, God is good. But we cannot let go of our confession. I think sometimes the lines of what God does and what the devil does has been getting very blurred. You know, we blame God for a lot of things that God never does. God is a good God. John 10, verse 10 says, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus came that you might have life, not just life, but abundant life. Yeah. So, whatever's coming in your life that's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's not of God. You know, check your life. If you're in unforgiveness, bitterness, or disobedience to God, change something. Repent. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Get rid of it so you can have the power of God working in you. Someone said to me when I quoted scriptures about healing, they said, yeah, but God didn't really mean that. I would like to say then, if he didn't mean what he said, why didn't he say what he meant? You know, I mean, come on now. God is a communicator. He knows how to talk to us. We don't need somebody else to interpret it. Romans 10, verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ, is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basic and object of faith which we preach. Here are some of the verses that talk about the words we speak. Proverbs 6, verse 2. I'm going to read them very quickly, so if you want to make a note of them. You are snared with the words of your mouth, and you are taken with the words of your mouth. Talk about the importance of your mouth. Matthew 12, 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Matthew 12, 37, for by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Luke 19, verse 22, out of your mouth will I judge you. Job 6, 25, how forcible are right words. Job 9, verse 20, my own mouth shall condemn me. Jeremiah 1, 12, I will hasten my word to perform it. So if we speak God's word, he will hasten to perform it. Ezekiel 12, 25, the word that I speak shall come to pass. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Hebrews 13, verse 15, by him, then let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually, not just when you're around church people, but continually, when you're in your house and you may be not feeling. Feelings have nothing to do with it. It says we are to make the sacrifice of our lips, giving praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, confessing his name. If you see something you don't like, start saying, start looking at something you do like. You know, I believe we live today in what we have been confessing last year. Proverbs 12, 13 and 14. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and by the reward of man's hand shall be given to him. Proverbs 13, verse 2. From the fruit of his mouth a man shall eat good. but the soul of the treacherous eats violence. Proverbs 18, verse 20 to 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. He shall be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What are you speaking? Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? You can have a choice. It says, I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So choose to speak life. You know, in every situation, I don't care what you is. I've got a wonderful marriage. I mean, hey, we'll be married 6 months tomorrow, I guess. And praise God, you know, we are very happy. But sadly enough, I'm not perfect. But you know, Nick chooses to say good things about me. And you know what? He's got good things. Now, I'm sure if he wanted to start, you know, he's quiet and I'm noisy and I'm going here, going there. And he could say, you know what? I wish that woman would settle down once in a while. And he could get negative about my things that I do, you know. But he chooses not to. And that's why we have a good life. You know, we live by the fruit of our lips. You know, if we start focusing, I don't care what you go through in life. There's positives and there's negative. I could share my testimony and I could share it and be so thankful to all that God has done in my life and how he brought me through situations that I shouldn't be here today. I should be dead. And yet God delivered me and brought me through, and I can rejoice over that. But I can make a testimony that is so sad I can have you in tears. It's a choice we make. Do we focus on the negatives in our life, or do we focus on what God is doing in our life? Gotta hurry along here. Mark 11:23 says, "For truly I say to you, whoever shall say to this mountain," oh, this mountain is so big, I can't possibly crow. No, it doesn't say that. "And say to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart." Your heart is your spirit, man. Not your mind. Your mind will think all kinds of things. And the reason we lose it is because we go by our mind's conclusion, not by what the Word of God says. It says, "But shall believe that what he said shall occur, he shall have whatever he said." Now, whatever could be good or bad. You can have whatever. Whatever you want, say it. Do you know that this verse says only one time to believe and three times to say? So what we speak is so important. We can speak. Now, this one I always like. It's a good teaching for us. Numbers 14, 28 and 29. God speaking. "Say to them, as I live, says Jehovah, as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, who have murmured against me." You know, the children of Israel, they complained and complained and complained, you know. "Oh, wish we'd go back to Egypt. At least we had the leeks. We had the leeks and the garlic there." But, you know, it was, you know, "Oh, wish we, your God wants to kill us here. Let us die in this wilderness," and all this kind of stuff. And finally, God had it up to here. He'd heard it once too often. He said, "You know, whatever they've spoken in my ear, that's what I'm going to do." And they got what they confessed with their mouth. It was only two that confessed the word of God. So majority doesn't rule. Always remember that. It says, oops, half of it is on another page. I had trouble with computers this weekend. Philippians 4 verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely and good, think of good report. If there's any virtue, praise or praise think on these things. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You know? And also Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, we are encouraged to hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. Confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto healing. Confession is made unto victory, and confession is made unto joy, and confession is made to anything that you desire in life. You start speaking it forth because you are creative. That the communication, Philemon 3, 1 verse 6 says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good thing. Every good thing that is in you. You know, a lot of times we want to just talk about the bad things. I was in a meeting one time, and it was a pastor who came in and had some problems. And he went to one group, and I watched him. Went to one group of pastors, and he told them all his problems and said all his negative stuff. Went to the next group of pastors. They said, how are you? Wrong thing to say. You tell people, shalom. That means healing, wholeness, soundness, peace. Everything's included. You know, but we say, how are you? And boy, it opens the door to all kinds of negativity. And he went there and he confessed all over again. He went to another group, confessed all over again. And he wonders why he's living in misery. Because we have what we confess. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, gird up the loins of your mind, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are to gird up the loins of our mind. We need to take, you know, and I always use the example that when I had 8 kids and hardly ever went anywhere on my own, if I drove from point A to point B all by myself in the car, I didn't want a radio on. I didn't want music on. I just wanted to vegetate. Let all hang out. Think about whatever I wanted to think about. And I very soon found out, God checked me on it, that we start thinking about negative things. We can't afford to let it all hang out. We need to gird it up. We need to put on that helmet of salvation. Protect our thought life. We are to take imaginations captive. You know what? When you get a report, you right away make the report worse than what it is in the first place. That's imaginations. We need to take those captive, and we need to make them obedient to the Word of God. Well, guess what? It's a game. We have to put this inside of us to know what God's will is, so that we can take imaginations, that we know the difference between imaginations and the real thing. We need to take them captive, and we are to resist every foul, faith-destroying, negative image that comes into our mind. And that's the choice. And that's the spiritual warfare. It's not screaming and shouting at the devil. It is resisting the devil. Now, when I resist the devil and I'm full of the Word of God, I know what the Word of God says, and the enemy comes at me, and I don't start cowering away and thinking his thoughts, which he has already planted in my mind, but my spirit rises up big, and I will walk forward, and I resist him in faith. You will have no dominion over me. I will not think your thoughts. I will not do your works. I will not get even. I will not lose my cool. Yeah, I'll lose my cool at you. That's the only one we can get angry out at while we're allowed to get angry and not sin. That means you have to make it very short and repent immediately. But But basically, we can get mad at him. Boy, I wish we'd get mad at him. In other words, we sit there and we, he hides. He gets us thinking God is doing that to straighten us up. God has his word to straighten us up. If you need straightening up, you're not getting into the word of God. The word of God will straighten you up. And then, you know, things happen. You know what? I don't know why everything happened. I'm not God. I'm his messenger. But I know one thing, no matter what happens to me in this life, this word is the truth. And I can set my bow on it. If I miss it, it's not God. I had somebody say to me, well, if I thought God did this to me, I would be so upset. It was my own mother. Well, I'll tell you, if I had to think God did awful things to me, I would really wonder about serving a God. Actually, that's how we changed. Because there was a little girl in the church we went who was dying of a brain tumor and screaming out. And the minister prayed one Sunday morning and said, Lord, heal her. And if you don't heal her, let us see your glory on it. And my late husband said, if that's you, God, you stink. And that's at that moment, you know, God can take it. That's when God started revealing himself to us as a good God who loves us, wants good things in our life, and has a desire to see us be successful. So we need, one, we need to renew our minds. We need to get our thinking in line with the Word of God. Number two, we need to renew our believing. Get our believing in line with the Word, and that's by work. It takes work. W-O-R-K. It's a dirty word. And then number three is renew our confession. Get our confession in line with the word. And if you're married, help each other. You know, correct each other when you start saying negative things. If you're friends with someone, you young people, correct yourself when you start saying negative things. You know, we were created in the image of God. And God said in Genesis, and it was. God said, and it was. God said, and it was. That same God said, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That was the same God. That same God has given us everything that we need. So we've been created in his image. So what we say is also creative. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. And you say, yeah, but you'd be lying if I don't say what all my troubles are. You know what? Sometimes we just want to share a negative story just to get somebody to pat our back and say, oh, I feel so bad. And when they do this little pat on the back, and saying they feel so bad, what are you left with? The same problem. You know? Let the weak say, I am strong. You know? Is it in the, you see, we get things out of the spiritual realm, not out of the natural realm. If we look at the natural, yeah, maybe we are weak. But you know, God says he would like you to be strong. So I'll do what the Word of God says. That's more real to me than what I see down here. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Hey, I was poor for years. And you know what we did? We confessed wealth. We confessed God's provision. Did it happen overnight? No, it didn't. We had to make some changes in our life. But we did become prosperous. You know, let the sick say, I'm healed. Oh, but you know, if you need prayer and you're sick, come up for prayer and we pray for you. And you can confess your sickness right here. Then you've confessed it and you start confessing healing. You know, if you take medicine, If you take it one time, you don't feel any better, right? Second time, third time. You have to use the whole bottle to get your healing. We want to get prayed for, and there is the miraculous that you instantly get healed, but mostly it's a healing. And you keep taking your medicine. You keep taking the Word of God. You keep speaking the Word of God to get where you want to go. I have some handout. If the ushers could hand them out to everybody, I would really appreciate that. And do we pray for the family? We want to pray for each family as we close the service. We do that every year. Every family of the church comes up and we pray for them. I would ask you that if you've been prayed for, if you want to talk, to go to the cafe and talk there so that, you know, there won't be any lot of commotion going on behind the scenes while we're praying for people. I would really appreciate that. And let's pray. Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and I thank you, Lord, for your word, that your word is truth. Thank you, Lord, for this new year. I thank you, Lord, for 364 days filled with your power, your anointing, your love, your provision, your peace, your victories, your, Lord, you being with us and never leaving or forsaking us. I thank you, Lord, that we'll be strong in the power of your might, Lord, and we will walk through this year in victory, in wholeness, and in peace. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the musicians would come. Pastors to come and pray.